B-Pod Studios.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster in a Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. In this hour, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to see ZZ Top with special guest Cheap Trick Sunday, September 15th at the BB&T Pavilion over in Camden. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. And we'll also give away a pair of passes, Fandango movie tickets to go see Avengers Endgame opening in theaters this Friday. That comes along with a prize pack for Avengers Endgame as well. Right now we got Mark and Aldi. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. But on the line with us right now from ESPN.com, our very own Mr. Tim McManus. Tim, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. Happy draft day.
Happy draft day to you, too. What's the draft like for you? I mean, you go through the entire NFL season. You got to follow all these college kids, all their careers and all that stuff. And it boils down to one moment that most people care about, the first round of the draft that gets underway tonight in Nashville, Tennessee. So what's this whole process like for you?
Well, number one, it's a really exciting day. And what I do is usually get to the NovaCare complex. So even though these drafts are moving all over the place now, from New York to Philly to Dallas and now Nashville, which I'm sure is going to be an awesome scene.
Yeah.
I'm always in Philadelphia. And the reason being is that the Eagles brass is in Philly, and they set up their war room on the second floor of the NovaCare complex. And so the reporters are just right underneath that, kind of, reporting and waiting for action to unfold, and then get to talk to Howie Roseman to get his insight into the picks right afterwards. So it's obviously a really exciting time. This is where championship teams are built. And, so I'm ready for it all to unfold.
All right, now we'll cut right to the chase. When it comes to this draft for the Eagles, they pick at 25. What's the sense you're getting for what exactly they want to look for? Is it best player available? Is it need? And also, do you see them moving up or down?
I think that it's going to be need. And the one thing that Howie Roseman said is that they feel that they can go out and play right now. In other words, not draft dependent. They feel like they have a really stacked team as it is. And so they don't need to reach for need in this draft. I think that we can let history be our guide a little bit. If you look at what Roseman has done when he's in charge of personnel, so he's overseen 7 first round picks during his tenure. 6 of them have been committed to an offensive or defensive lineman, the lone exception being Carson Wentz, number 2 overall, 2016. The other trend that we can look at with Roseman is that he's been in charge of 8 drafts total, and there's only been 3 instances in which he used his original pick in the first round. So we know he likes to wheel and deal. The evidence is right there that he certainly likes to do it. He's moved up 3 times. He's moved back twice. And so I think that, especially because they're in that 25 spot, it increases the odds that they will move one way or another, because there's only a handful of like blue chippers, right? And if they feel like one gets close to them, they don't want to miss out on them, I can see them moving up a few spots. But if all those blue chippers have gone off the board, you can see them moving back. So obviously when you're at 25, hard to forecast specifically what they're going to do, because it's dependent on what the 24 picks before you do. But if we look in the past, we have a pretty clear picture of what Roseman has preferred.
Is there anything, Tim, above a 1% chance of the Eagles actually investing one of their first 3 picks? So they have 2 seconds, and they have the number 1, obviously. Is there any chance, maybe above a 1%, that the Eagles would actually draft a linebacker that high, considering the running backs of this division?
Yeah, I would be surprised if one of their first day 1 or day 2 picks goes to a linebacker. 2 reasons for that. I think we look at value position, the way that this team thinks about it. You know, linebacker doesn't rank that high for them. And the second part is that it's not thought to be a very good linebacker class. And if you put those 2 things together, it seems like there would be better options for them to go in.
Tim, if we go off of what you were saying, that most likely they're not going to sit where they are, most likely they'll go offensive line or defensive line. I'm going to say it's defensive line, and I'm going to say they move up into that, I don't know, 12 to 15 area. Who do you think might be a guy in that defensive tackle spot or defensive line spot that they might target?
You know, someone like Cleveland Farrell makes sense to me.
From Clemson?
From Clemson. I mean, if you listen to the description on him, it sounds a lot like Derek Barnett. He's not the flashiest athletic guy, but he produces like crazy, 27 sacks over the last 3 seasons. He's a polished pass rusher, and I think that that would be someone that would be attractive for them. There's also guys that maybe aren't as polished but have a lot of athletic upside, and Rashawn Gary being one of them, Brian Burns being another. These are edge guys. And then you look at the roster, I mean, they don't need to force anything, but if you're looking down the road, you have Brandon Graham, who's north of 30,
right.
Chris Long, who might not be coming back. I mean, there's certainly reasons to fill what they consider one of the most important positions in football. So those are some guys that could possibly intrigue them to move up.
Now, Tim, when you're looking at really kind of the structure again, how much of this, or really where does Howie Roseman come into play? Is it the scouting he still has a lot to do with it? Does he just trust you, Joe Douglas, to do that? Or is that something that Howie will just come in later and just kind of make that final decision?
Well, yeah, he delegates a lot of the work to the scouts, and Joe Douglas kind of oversees the day-to-day operations. And the way that he describes it is kind of as like a funnel. So it starts with, you know, all of these college prospects, and by the time it reaches Roseman's desk, it's more specific, like Eagles-type players, where you have less to sort of sift through. But, you know, ever since Roseman's been involved, he's been heavily involved, really loves scouting, really loves the draft. So he's certainly not sitting idly by, but it's just more, and he gets, you know, ultimately he and Lori will have the final say on this thing. So he's very involved in the process, but he also isn't micromanaging it from like the, you know, the 1,000th prospect all the way through.
Tim, we saw some reports on Nelson Agholor, and just wondering what you think the percentages are that he will be in an Eagles uniform next year.
Well, I think it's dependent on what happens in this draft in part, and also how big of a market there would be for Agholor if you put him out there on the trade market. And yes, there would be some teams, and I saw the Patriots as one potential suitor for him, but also he comes with a $9 million tag for this year, and he's a free agent after this season, so what kind of value could you get in return? So it really comes down to circumstance for me, but if they were to end up like, we just did the NFL Nation mock draft a couple days ago, and I took Marquise Brown, number 25 overall for the Eagles, right? If it were to play out like that, then you have Brown to work in the slot now with Jackson on the outside with Alshon Jeffrey, and you have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert as your other weapons, then yeah. I mean, I think somebody like Agholor would be expendable, and maybe you do start looking at how you can replenish. So I think it is something that will be on the table, and then it becomes a matter of what's the circumstance, and do they in fact find a wide receiver that they like, which would obviously increase the percentage that Agholor is gone.
We're talking to Tim McManus of ESPN.com. All right, I'm going to put you in the room, Tim. You're going to be next to Howie and Joe. You're going to be sitting between them, all right? Who are you advising them to take? If it was up to Tim McManus, what would you tell the Eagles to do?
And if we're sitting at 25, and who's available for me, Mark?
Everyone ever. No, I don't know. Your dream scenario. What I'm trying to get to, Tim, is your dream scenario. If you could wave a magic wand and get the guy that you wanted, who would it be?
You know, I think that defensive line does make sense for this team based on what they prioritize, and also matches kind of the strength of this draft. So I think that if they were to walk away with Ferrell, that to me would be a dream sequence. And there is a chance that one of those, kind of call it the Clemson three, that one of those guys does fall down into the Eagles range just by nature of the fact that this draft is stacked with defensive linemen. So if Dexter Lawrence, defensive tackle, or Cleveland Ferrell ends up falling down to the Eagles, I could see that being a really strong scenario. Because what Roseman said is that he wants to walk away with a home run difference maker. Now, to me, that speaks of Marquise Brown. You're going to want to get a blue chip from one way or another. But that can come in many forms. And if you can get a guy that's going to be a double-digit sack guy, like Ferrell has the potential to be, that could also fit the mold. So that would be where my mind was. It's just making sure that you come out with an impact player. And I think Lawrence, I think Ferrell, I think Marquise Brown all fit the bill.
Is this the least attention you've gotten for, and I don't just mean you, I just mean through football in general in Philly, with the Phillies being a big conversation with Bryce Harper and all that. The Sixers still in the playoffs. The Flyers are even having things going on with them. Is this almost the most, I don't want to say distracted, but it seems like the draft hasn't had that buzz as it has in years past.
No, I think that's totally right. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's mostly the Sixers and the Phils that you have to thank for. When I was, you know, listening to you guys before I came on, I'm like, man, they're talking Phils. Draft day.
I know, right?
But it's understood why you're doing it. And you could be talking Sixers and it would be just as justified, right?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, and also the fact that the Eagles are picking a little bit later, and there's not like that one press you need where people are like screaming and calling and saying, "Nah, they need this." I mean, it's not quite that. So one way you can look at it is that the Eagles are in a good position.
The last thing, Yeah. Last thing for you, Tim McManus, ESPN.com. I know Bob asked you about a second ago, but just the likelihood, if at all, you see Nelson Agholor, if he is traded, that it would happen actually within the course of this draft.
I would say that not necessarily. I mean, I think that the Eagles will be smart about identifying value, and making something come together that quickly doesn't necessarily give you that. So, and especially once you get through the spring and summer, injuries happen and values of guys can go up. So I would be a little surprised if Agholor was gone by tonight or this weekend. That would seem to be a quick turnaround for me.
And I know you'll be discussing this stuff further on the Fanatic later on today. And then the Embedded podcast as well?
Yeah, we're going to have that on. We're going to record that tomorrow morning after the first pick is made or not, and digest everything that's going on. So look for that as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Tim McManus, ESPN.com. Thanks for the insight as always, Tim. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have fun.
All right, Tim. Take it easy, Tim. The Embedded podcast is great. He does a great job with that. And I know a lot of reaction to whatever happens tonight in the draft. You got to love that question, though. Who's available? If I'm putting him in the room, of course, he needs to know who's still out there.
But he did say something towards the end that made me cringe.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, he said, yeah, and we'll do something after that first pick if the Eagles do make it tonight. Oh. That makes the staying up even worse. That makes the 3 hours of sleep that we'll get even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, if they pick, you like it or don't like it, you can sleep solid 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
If they don't pick at all, then you're like...
Here's the thing. If they don't pick, that means they traded out of the first round, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got 7 picks. Why would they... It's not like they're hurt. Like last year, you can understand why they might trade back. They only had like, what, 4 picks, 5 picks last year?
Yeah.
And with those 5 picks, they took 4 football players and then rolled the dice on Jordan Mailata.
Right.
To see what he could bring in maybe this year or down the line. They got 7 picks. They got 3 in the top 2 rounds. And they got 2 fourths. They got a 5. They got a 6.
Yeah, I don't think trading down makes a ton of sense unless you're blown away. But nothing with Howie is obvious, so everything's on the table.
Does anyone have a late first round and like 7 second round picks?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So I don't think we'll mess with that one. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Mark and Aldi, he's been holding. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, bud.
I just got a quick take on the Carson Wentz thing.
Okay.
So I would give him a shorter leash. I would give him 1 year based on health. And this guy's had significant injuries 3 of the last 4 years, and he wouldn't be the first, you know, great athlete that didn't fulfill his promise because he just couldn't stay healthy. And, you know, I don't think anybody has control of that. I mean, if his body can't take the pounding, it just can't take the pounding. And that would be unfortunate because I would like to see him become a great quarterback, but they should not sign him. They should see if he can make it through this year, because if he misses any time this year, significant time, he automatically becomes a journeyman quarterback. You can't give $100 million to somebody who can't stay on the field.
Right. But that's the only thing that was kind of inaccurate with Donovan. It's not like they're going to be able to move on from Carson, because at some point they are going to have to pay him. And it's either going to happen in this offseason or it's going to happen next offseason. Now, if you're Carson, you're probably going to try to bet on yourself and try to cash in next year. But if that's the case, then, look, it's either you're going to let him walk scot-free or you're going to have to, you know, eat some cash if he ends up having another similar year to last year. I don't think that's going to be I think what's going to happen with this is the Eagles are going to pay him after this year. He's going to play very well this year. They'll make the playoffs. I don't think he'll do great in the playoffs, but I think the team overall will win a game and maybe get to the conference championship. That's just how I see it playing out. But they'll make that decision after next year as to whether or not they want to invest one of those, you know, now famous $120 million deals.
Well, I think if he can stay healthy, they're going to invest in him as well they should. But if he can't stay healthy, I think the Eagles could usher in a new paradigm, which is, you know, you don't have to have a franchise quarterback taking up a humongous portion of your salary cap. You could invest in your team and have a great team, great running game, great lines, and just have a quarterback that can throw accurately. You know, somebody that makes good decisions that can throw accurately, get a young guy out of college and play with him for 5 years. If you have a great team, you just need a quarterback that can get the ball where it has to be. It doesn't have to be Superman.
In all honesty.
Nah, I want Superman back there, yeah.
In all honesty, it's all about the quarterback, man. And that's the majority of the championships now. That it's all about the quarterback.
All I can say is that most of the teams that gave these quarterbacks these super contracts, none of them have success.
The top six quarterbacks paid last year didn't even make the playoffs?
Well, we've seen, like, you know,
or they're out the first round or whatever it was.
Matt Ryan, even Drew Brees for years got his money. I mean, the only one that really has done anything. Even Ben Roethlisberger never been back to the Super Bowl. I mean, you can go down the list of all these quarterbacks.
He's won two
contracts.
I see what you're saying, Mark. And hold on, I'm going to put you in the running for some of our prizes here. I get that. It seems like Matt Ryan and even Aaron Rodgers, and we'll see what happens with Russell Wilson. When they get paid, it doesn't seem like they're ever back. And then you have Tom Brady, who takes these wild, not pay cuts, but doesn't have that huge contract, and he seems to win every year, right? Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Well, Carson, stop being so selfish and go marry a billionaire supermodel.
That's a good point.
I mean, seriously, what's this guy doing?
I don't know. He was doing something in his yard yesterday, though.
Oh, was he? He was out in the yard hunting?
Yeah, I think he was prepping for hunting.
He does a lot of dog training with his three...
I don't know what it was. It was
clearance. Guns or something?
But, no, it wasn't. I know what that looks like.
Are you guys neighbors now with this new house you're buying? You look over and you see Carson in the backyard.
He's not a fair man.
I'm throwing some burgers on the grill. You hungry?
I doubt Carson would ever be a city guy.
I
don't see him. Like, he would get complaints.
Cole Hamels was.
Yeah, but he wasn't a hunter.
Good point. But Hamels eventually moved out to Wayne.
Yeah, and then Texas and now Chicago.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And then he gave his house away.
Sort of
charity?
Something crazy like that.
Yeah.
How did we get talking about what happened?
Because you mentioned something about rich athletes not living in cities.
No, we were talking about the hunting aspect.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But Carson was doing something yesterday. But it's still young, very young. I mean, Matt Ryan.
That money's coming.
It is coming.
And it's probably going to be $32, $33 million a year.
Is it a curse to get paid young as a quarterback? I mean,
draft well, it's fine.
Okay. Well, sure.
But are you talking individually or are you talking for the team?
Yeah, individually. Yeah.
Not for him, I don't think it'll be a problem. I'm sure some people it's been a problem, but I don't see him.
For the team, it's a lot to deal with because that's like 18% of your cap guy.
See, that's why I like the theory of like a different salary cap for quarterbacks. Like, they're in their own realm.
Yeah.
And that way you can do whatever you want with the rest of the team. And if you have that quarterback that can always make your team go, by all means, you just have him go. Now, okay, here you go. Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, Alex Smith. Oh, my goodness. Drew Brees. Well, Drew Brees, you know, he did fine for himself in the playoffs last year. They didn't make it to the Super Bowl, obviously, but they had a run. But you look at the majority of the paid quarterbacks throughout the league, none of them are making big splashes. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were disappointing last year. They didn't even make the playoffs.
And that's the epitome of giving too much money to one guy because they've never surrounded him.
No.
They've never surrounded him with anybody.
No. But look, do you want Carson Wentz here for the next 5-6 years?
Yeah.
Jamie?
Absolutely.
They're going to pay him next year.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree it's not going to happen this year.
That's why last year's draft and this year's draft are very crucial because you're going to have to cut the fat of a lot of salary coming up to afford Carson, so you need that pipeline of youth to continue to replenish.
So with that, you then touch on why they might trade back tonight, because maybe they want all the young bucks they can.
Yeah, and you're not paying first-round money.
Exactly.
It's not a huge savings, 25 compared to, like, say, 40. But it's something.
Howie only needs $1 million to make like 10.
Yeah, it's true.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's nuts. No matter when you look at all these picks, again, we said 7 picks, right? Go into tonight, you have the pick of 25. If they do end up moving back and they go out of that first round, that alleviates some money, right? Mm-hmm. For the future.
Right.
And then you also have a bunch of other guys that you don't have to pay a lot if a couple of them hit. And just but him saying that they want to come out, and Tim brings up a good point when we talked to Tim McManus a second ago. Howie did say when he was addressing the media shortly before Joe Douglas did at the NovaCare Complex a couple weeks ago, Howie did come out and say that they wanted that home run hitter. And if they want a home run hitter, they're not trading out of the first round to get that home run hitter.
Yeah, if anything, you're trading up, or you're getting Marquise Brown at 25.
You're getting aggressive.
Yeah. If you're coming away with a home run hitter, home run and 25,
yes,
they do not marry each other.
That new toy for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, the new toy for Carson Wentz would be, if you sit at 25 and you get Marquise Brown, then you had him targeted all along as the home run hitter.
Uh-huh, 100%.
Otherwise, that says to me, you're looking to move up. No?
I would be surprised if they moved up. I wouldn't be nearly as surprised if they moved out of the first round.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with you there. Yeah. But home run hitter, you're not, like you said, you're not getting a home run hitter usually at 25, let alone moving out of the first round.
It's no way, shape, or form saying stupid money. Like putting that out there, right? Saying that you're going
to
go out.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
No, not at all. But what I'm saying is, if you're going out there and you're going to say a phrase like stupid money, like John Middleton, that gave me confidence that, oh yeah, this team isn't losing. They're not going to lose the Harper sweepstakes, right? Howie saying home run hitter isn't quite that upper echelon type of, oh, something definitely big's going to happen here, something huge going to happen. But it definitely raises your eyebrows a little bit.
He's
not going into this looking to be timid.
No.
If he said we're going in there to get a game changer, then I'd be thinking a little bit different.
Right. So standing pat and moving back, is that timid to you?
No, I can see the smart play there. It's not, okay. Look, it's always boring for this when they move
back. Sure.
But like, what happened to us in Philadelphia, right? When I got people tweeting me saying, you know, I wouldn't be upset if they took an offensive lineman. Like, that used to be the worst thing ever. And we used to hate that. And even if people say that they don't mind if they trade back in the draft to get more picks. Like, what happened to us as a fan base?
We won a Super Bowl, Mark.
That used to be venomous. Exactly. It's made us more.
World champs, baby. And that's all I got to say.
But see, we're still the same people that booed him at halftime of opening night.
Yeah. We're just a little softer.
Softer. Are we smarter? Are we smarter? Because we're like, people are championing the cause of moving back.
I think there's more of an understanding of cap and future ramifications in today's understanding of the fan than there was 10, 12 years ago. So, yeah, I think as fans, we are getting smarter.
No, we're getting more complacent.
More complacent
because you won the Super Bowl.
The old get off my lawn Cooney over here.
Yep.
Analytics are the devil.
No, see,
hates Gabe.
I love the fact that we have more access. Hates Gabe. What's Gabe?
I know. He's old get off my lawn Cooney.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Doesn't like the new age stuff.
But
if new age is complacent, you're right. I don't like it.
But what I'm saying is we have access to more information than we ever have before.
Yeah.
Does that make people follow it more closely and be like, oh, it totally makes sense because I can see this person now in the second round. That would be much more beneficial to this offense.
More closely or differently? More closely. Because there's more detail. There's more information out there.
I think they go with the same.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Like, I'll say this. I won't go so far as to say the fans are smarter than they were 20 years ago.
Well, why? There's still a lot of bad takes. It doesn't excuse all the bad takes out there.
Certainly. But we have access to more information.
Yeah, and more information makes you smarter.
Yeah, but I think smarter also has to do with the idea of processing the information in front of you. Like, if the information was available to somebody 20 years ago, they'd be able to process it the same.
Yeah, but they weren't.
We're better educated now, I think, is the better way to say it.
Yeah, smarter.
Sure.
I mean, isn't better educated smarter?
Not necessarily.
I mean, but it is.
But there's people that have common sense and then people that...
Street smarts versus book smarts.
Right, I guess.
You know, I've met some straight A people that are dumb.
Walking to walls all day.
Yeah. But I think we're smarter fans than we were 15 years ago.
Bottom line, yes. I would agree with what you're saying. But it's because we have the access to that information.
Like when Mike Mamula was taken, it's not like, oh, this guy's combine numbers. Oh, this percentage of the cap for a defensive end when in 3 years you have to pay Rodney Pete.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's not like there's a lot more that goes into the equation these days.
Okay.
And I think we understand all of that for the most part as fans. All right. I think it makes us better fans, smarter fans.
Bob, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't know. Because you didn't have the access to stuff, you weren't as smart of a fan. But back then, you could have been the smartest fan for what you had available.
Right. Which wasn't as much as we have now.
Yeah, but I understand what you, I totally understand it, but I have a tough time saying today's fans are smarter. It's like saying, all right, today's coaches are better because they have more information.
Yes.
Are they? I mean, you can have all the information you want. Like, say, Vince Lombardi
made
things.
Basketball coach ever.
Vince Lombardi made things work because.
Basketball coach?
Yeah.
College or pro?
It's Greg Popovich in the NBA. Right? Who's the greatest football coach ever?
Whoa. That's very arguable.
All right, whatever. Phil Jackson? Wait, you want Phil Jackson?
You could go Phil Jackson.
Who's the best football coach ever?
You're
going to
say Bill Belichick. You're going to say everybody from this day and age.
There's a trend here, isn't there?
It could be. But what if Vince Lombardi had a Microsoft Surface?
Well, then Bill Belichick would probably kick his ass.
The point is, yes, better educated.
I rest my case. We're smarter fans today.
I get that, because we have access to more information.
And the coaches have more information. It makes everyone better and more involved.
I hear what you're saying.
Bob's just screaming, get off my lawn.
And you're not wrong. What you're saying out loud is not wrong.
You can't say just because coaches have more information, they're better coaches now than the coaches that didn't have access to all that information.
But then again, the reason would be, so then why make the advances in technology if it's not going to make you better?
Yeah.
And by the way, for the record, Bill did smash his Surface. It pissed off a lot of sponsors at the NFL level. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, in case you missed some of Brett Brown yesterday with Mike Missanelli, we'll jump back into that. Brett gave us as much of an update as he could when it came to Joel Embiid and his health status for the series against the Raptors. Time of the Fanatic is 9:25.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Real quick, shout out Lou Williams. I saw the conversation start about him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's probably gone.
All time.
Whoa.
Wait, let me just get it out here. All time leading scorer, bench history of the NBA, blah, blah, blah. Former Sixer, we all know that. Had one heck of a career for himself. Just dropping 30 points off the bench like it's nothing in the playoffs for the Clippers.
And some assists, too. 10 assists in a couple of games.
He's getting it done for those Clippers.
Maybe he wants to come back. I don't want to say home because home's Georgia, but maybe he wants to come back to Philly, come off the bench.
I would love that.
Oh, man.
I would absolutely love that. But, the Clippers and the Golden State Warriors, they're having a little bit of a series all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm shocked Golden State didn't close that out last night. That's very odd.
First time they've lost 2 home games since the Cavaliers series.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
In the postseason. Absolutely incredible what they've been able to do. So, shout out to Lewis Williams. Now, Jamie says yay to the Hall of Fame. Bob Cooney says nay to the Hall of Fame.
I think Jamie was kidding, right?
I don't think so. By the time he's done, he's going to have like probably 15 or 16,000 career points.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
All right.
No.
We'll see.
I think he gets into the Hall of Fame.
I think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame.
And I'll tell you why.
Because I think he's going to play another 5-6 years at a decent level.
The Hall of Fame is all-encompassing.
Yeah, it's basketball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, he's not NBA.
He's not international.
Uh-huh.
He didn't play on any USA teams.
Uh-huh.
You're going to give a career backup a Hall of Fame nod?
But is that good? Who did we talk about earlier?
Bobby Jones is in the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
right?
Who did we talk about? We talked about Mark
Bobby
Averone.
Jones won championship.
And they're 20.
Bobby Jones won a national championship in college.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. That never even entered my consciousness of Lou Williams Hall of Fame.
I saw it get brought up. I forget who I saw tweeted or something like that. But I was just like, no.
For example, Bobby Jones had shy of 12,000 career points.
Okay.
Lou Williams is probably going to have 5,000 or 6,000 more career points than him.
Well, here's my point. Somebody brought
it
up.
It's a different NBA.
And like Bob, I was like, no way. Would he get bench player? And then I was thinking to myself,
yeah, that's a real role.
How much does a coach want Lou Williams in the Hall of Fame? Because then you can say anybody, hey, you're going to come off the bench. Lou Williams came off the bench and went into the Hall of Fame. What do you want from me? That's a great sticking point if you're a coach.
But like I said, I'm pretty sure Bobby Jones won a championship at North Carolina. He won a championship in the NBA.
He did.
Right, those are two big things that, okay. that contribute to going into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
All right.
Being the all-time leading scorer off the bench.
That's not nothing.
I'm not saying it's not nothing. I love Lou Williams. I mean, they have an award.
They have an award for the position he plays. The sixth man of the year.
Has he won it two or three times?
He's at least won it twice.
But see, here's the thing.
So, I mean, it's
the obvious argument, real quick. The obvious argument is that you're going to put him in a Hall of Fame and he wasn't even one of the five best players on his team.
Well, define best. The starting five gets overrated sometimes.
Sure.
Okay.
But more to the point.
That doesn't bother me so much. But, all right, I'm going to look up the points list. Is he going to be a top 35 career points list, top 50 career points? I'm just asking.
I don't even know, to be honest with you. I'm looking at when it's all said and done.
I don't care if he's a starter or coming off the bench. It's just like Lou Williams Hall of Fame.
I know.
It doesn't pass your smell test.
Not even a little bit.
I told you, Bob, my gut reaction to it was, what, are you kidding me? And then I was thinking, well, wait a minute.
Well, why are you thinking, wait a minute?
I'm thinking, wait a minute, because
dumb Jamie over there said so?
No, I was thinking it even before
I'm
Jamie.
Just kidding, Jamie. You're not dumb. I know how sensitive you are to things. I'm sorry.
But it first struck me as no way in hell because he wasn't even in the starting five. You're going to the Hall of Fame. And then I was thinking of the politics of it. And I was thinking
he's
about
not even close
to
the top 50 score.
Okay.
Just for like Terry Cummins is 50th on the list with 33,000.
Okay.
So
33,000?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at minutes.
Yeah. 33,000 is almost number one.
Yeah, so he's in the ballpark. Terry Cummins had 19,000 points as the 50th all-time scorer in NBA history. So if Lou Williams ends up with, you know, say 16-5, 17, he's approaching the top 50 scorers ever.
Sounds pretty good.
Sorry, look, if he had maybe a great college career...
Well, maybe he ring chases. So wait, but he's held it's held against him coming out of high school?
No. Kind of, because...
Well, that's not fair, it's basketball.
What was his high school numbers?
Okay, well, only his NBA career, then it doesn't get him in the Hall of Fame. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he's damn close to a top 50 scorer of all time by the time it's said and done.
All right, well, anyway.
Multiple six-man awards?
I just brought him up to give him a shout-out.
No, we're going to battle. Sweet Lou's hell.
No, right.
The battle of Sweet Lou Hill.
Drop the gauntlet. The battle of the six-man.
I look, before the Phil of Fans, a guy we follow on Twitter, proposed to us.
You follow on Twitter.
I had never thought about Lou Williams in the Hall of Fame once in my life before it was proposed to me, and he said it to me, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm kind of more on the yay than the nay.
I was surprised. I think it might have come up on SportsCenter or something like that. I might have been flipping around, whatever, background noise, and it came up as conversation. I think that's where I heard it. And I was just like, what? Was he nuts? He wasn't even a starter. And I'm like,
David Robinson, the Admiral, 20,800 points.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he's in.
He also won Olympic gold medals.
Yeah. But you're holding Lou not playing college against him. That's not right.
He wasn't good enough to make Olympic teams. Like, David Robinson won Olympic gold medals.
Because Coach K didn't have his greedy paws on him.
Gotcha.
So he didn't pick him.
Good enough.
Yeah.
So, Brett Brown was all with Mike Pistella yesterday.
What does he think about Sweet Lou? Does he want him back?
You know what? Let's text him. To answer your question, hell yeah, he wants him back. But Brett Brown was on with Mike Mussolini.
How perfect would he be for this team?
We said it at the time.
Him or Beverly were the perfect fits.
100% true. Yeah. 100% true. And even, who was it, Wes Matthews, who ended up going to Indiana? Would have been Wesley Matthews. Yeah, it would have been nice to have him here. But anyway, nonetheless, Brett Brown was on Mike Mussolini yesterday, and most people, if you didn't have that bench player that you wanted to come in, like Lou Williams, you'd have to stick with the starting five. And the guy that a lot of people are going to be focusing throughout this series is Joel Embiid, because his health is everything to the 76ers. Here is Brett Brown on Joel Embiid's health status, as much detail as he was willing to give us when it came to JoJo in the second round playoff series.
I can tell you that Joel has been incredibly professional, but as it relates to like a full-fledged available Joel Embiid, I can't promise that. I hope it, but I can't say that right now.
He's not playing the 35-40 minutes that we want him to play. I know everyone wants to look at the minutes with him. When you look at the series against the Nets, the game that they needed him the absolute most was Game 4 in Brooklyn, and he only played 34 minutes in that game. or excuse me, 32 minutes he played in 30, that game.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay,
30. Only 32 minutes. They're going to need him against a much better opponent and a guy that wants to back him down and actually beat him up a little bit in Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol.
Yeah, the whole Serge Ibaka is physical, no question. Joel Embiid has 4 inches and 50 pounds on him.
100% and bad knees and a bad foot and a bad back.
Well, damn, when did you get it on the Joel Embiid hate wagon?
I love Joel Embiid, but I am saying you're playing against the guys.
It's not hate to be realistic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Come on, Bob.
Why you gotta
why do you hate Sweet Lou?
Why do you hate shame? Why are you hate shaming?
Where's Trey?
the muck by now.
Yeah. No, Lou Williams doesn't belong in the NBA. I'm sorry.
It's not the NBA Hall of Fame, Bob.
I think if he's available to Brett Brown, in the series, like you have him tonight. I don't think there's a minute or so you have him tonight. If it warrants, if the game calls for him to play between 35 and 40, I think he's going to do it. I do. I just think he's going to do it.
I hope so.
I hear you.
I hope he's good enough to play.
It's just like you're the Eagles taking a linebacker.
Right.
I know it's probably not going to happen, but I think it can. I think if. You know, you get look the other night when he played in game game four, he comes out with 550 or 702 to go in the fourth. He puts him back with 556. It was a case of, oh man, I need you in there. Go back.
Yes,
the stakes are higher now too. I just see that could happen over 35 minutes.
And I think there was a stoppage of play that allowed Joel to come back into that game.
Excuse me, no question. Yeah. But yeah, I think. It will.
So you think Lou will?
Say,
you think Lou Williams will be in the Hall of Fame? Is that what you just said?
That's what I think. I heard.
I think I heard that too. I'm not crazy.
There's no way Lou Williams is in the Hall of Fame. I just texted some people in the NBA too, just to get some reaction.
Oh, good.
Hopefully they'll get back.
Good stuff. 610-632-0975. We're going to take James in Bristol. We can open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Everyone loves a nice green lawn, but you don't want to sacrifice the safety of your loved ones. You don't want to sacrifice the safety of your kids, your neighbors' kids, your pets, anybody. Pets and anybody might be running around on your lawn, so make sure you take care of it with Natural Lawn of
Bob
America.
Actually hates when people stand on his lawn. See what I did there?
What? No.
It's a lawn.
I don't care what you did. It's stupid.
If Bob Cooney's been standing on your lawn too long and that grass is dead.
Get Natural Lawn.
Call Natural Lawn of America because they use safer, organic-based, Bob Cooney-free products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. With Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. They actually do keep your grass greener and keep those weeds away. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn has been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. So whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatment will give you the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. And for a limited time only, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full service program. That's right, $100 off. If you want a greener lawn with fewer weeds, call Natural Lawn today and tell them Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 855 Lawn Care, that's 855 Lawn Care, and get $100 off right now. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey, the Morning Trey will be back with us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
On tomorrow. So there you go, Bob.
Take some of the pressure off me.
I was just texting Trey. He said Lou Williams should be in the Hall of Fame already.
You're such a liar. Oh, my God. What did you say? Lou Williams isn't even in the top 200?
He is 191st in the NBA all-time scoring list.
Mm. By the time his career's done, he'll be approaching that 50 range.
The 50 range, yes.
That's pretty good, being a top 50 all-time scorer in the NBA, right?
And he's 32.
So pretty good gets you in the Hall of Fame now.
Tracy McGrady's in the Hall of Fame.
And
what did he ever do?
Is Tracy McGrady?
I'm not here to defend others. I'm here to tell you that Lou Williams doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
No, but Phil Rizzuto of the basketball Hall of Fame.
Those are Z's.
Those are just. All right. James has been holding. James in Bristol. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I want to say, first of all, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Good morning, buddy.
I want to say Lou Williams will absolutely get the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Reason,
you're a brilliant man, James.
This is why I say that, is because, as my friend D. Wu says, everybody goes to the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yes. So,
it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. That's the problem. It's right. just the Hall of Fame.
Okay, well, the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I don't even think this is a case of just everybody getting in. I think he deserves to be in. He's a great player. Just because he comes off the bench.
All right, forget coming off the bench. You. If I give you his resume of being a 14-year NBA veteran who averaged 13.5 points a game, that's NBA. That's Hall of Fame worthy? Like, forget Lou Williams. Forget
so
the
you're
name.
Holding age 18, 19, and 20 against him.
I'm not holding
no, by using that
him.
Stat, you're using him as an 18, 19,
Those
and 20
are
year old.
The stats!
Because
I
he came out in high school!
That's not my fault! I'm just telling you what his stats are! Those are his
you're
stats!
You're framing it to support your case. It's fake news.
So it's the Hall of Fame. It's a Basketball Hall of Fame. It's all-encompassing. Lou Williams' career resume for this Hall of Fame is 15-year NBA player who average 13.5 points a game. That's just the
I mean,
facts.
That's not a Hall of Fame, but
what?
But top 50 scorer is.
Yeah, he's a top 50 scorer.
Oh, so you're supporting it just because he played 16 years?
No, I'm supporting him because he played at a high level for 16 years. There's a lot of guys that played 16 years that don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
So he played hard.
I think he played adequately. He played adequately, yes.
Adequately adequately is exactly the opposite of Hall of Fame.
James, thanks for the comment. I'll put you on hold. You're in the running for some of our fine prizes
today. I hate doing this because I love Lou Williams. I love covering him, but there's no way he's a Hall of Famer.
That sounds like you're six-man shaming.
Okay. He is. Bob doesn't respect the six-man. Sad.
You two are both.
Kids, if you're not a starter, be a terrible bench player. That's how you get in the Hall of Fame.
And there's more bench players throughout NBA history than starters. So if he's one of the best bench players ever, ergo, he's one of the best players ever.
Yeah, Lou Williams should go down as one of the 10 best of all time.
This is one of my favorite random topics we've ever discussed. So anyway, I really like the Devin Bush kid tonight. Let's see if he falls.
Good luck, Mark.
If he falls in the trap.
Is he a top 50 scorer?
Is he from Swinette,
Georgia? Let me just say, Devin Bush, put him in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to say that right now. Devin Bush, he's already a Pro Football Hall of Famer right there. Now, it's the Dr. James Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. Basketball Memorial Hall of Fame,
I'm
right?
sure Lou's got some Georgia State records. We can throw that on his resume, Bob.
All in.
He was Mr. Georgia.
Was he really?
I believe so, yeah. He was one of the biggest.
I kind of remember that, actually. Yeah.
He was a McDonald's All-American. Does that count for nothing in the Cooney household?
All right, don't put the quarter in now that we got to wrap things up.
Good friends with Lil Bow Wow.
Seriously.
I remember
Does that count for nothing, Bob?
Come on. We have to cover
ass.
All the bases. Our Twitter poll was brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for Windows, search windownation.com. Our Twitter poll was Lou Williams will in the Hall of Fame. 100% of the people said yes. Jamie Lynch, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is a simple one. And it's Lou Williams Hall of Fame case. The man has two girlfriends.
All encompassing.
And they know
that
was your
And
reasoning.
They know about each other. Mic drop.
Pat Egan, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is I can't believe that a guy that is the president of the Greg Monroe fan club has the audacity to come on these airwaves and say that somebody else isn't a Hall of Famer.
That's right.
When he clearly is and will finish probably top 40 in scoring.
Bangarang. It's Pat Egan, your arch nemesis, Bob Cooney. What do you think of that?
I swear to God.
What's your takeaway of the day, Bob Cooney?
Tonight, Carson Wentz is going to get another little piece of ammunition in 5'9", 160 pounds, Marquise Brown out of the University of Oklahoma.
There you go.
Hey, real quick, Bob. Manu Ginobili averaged 13.3 points for his career.
He also has an unbelievable international resume, Jamie. Why do you not hear this? He's got an unbelievable international resume.
He did win championships.
I mean, I don't know what you don't get about this.
ladies and gentlemen.
13.3 points.
All right. My takeaway of the day, ladies and gentlemen, is that Rhys Hoskins just now touched home plate. So that is officially a home run. Phillies win.
All right,
Phillies
win. Phillies.
All right, we'll be talking NFL draft tomorrow. Stay tuned for Gargano and Martinez Middays here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.